The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network. Meditation doesn't have to be a solo practice. Meditation is more fun with friends. Looking for a way to drop in and hang out at the same time? Join us online at Omega Institute for a meditation party with self-proclaimed meditation nerds Dan Harris, host of the 10% Happier podcast, Sebene Selassie, and Jeff Warren. This three-day retreat will stream live from Omega's Hudson Valley campus May 17th to 19th. Don't miss the party. Reserve your spot at eomega.org/party today.
Are you ready to create a life that's intentional and dynamic? Welcome to The Intentional Spirit with your host, Reverend Temple Hayes.
Welcome, and thank you so much for participating in my show for the many years that you have. I greatly appreciate all of you. I am truly in a sense of gratitude. We're celebrating the topic of gratitude, and it brings to mind a story that I heard many years ago that gives me great medicine to my soul. It's about a little boy in first grade named Billy. The teacher is asking all her students, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" So she gets to the first little girl, "Sarah, what do you want to be?" She goes, "Oh, I want to be the President of the United States." "And what about you, Margaret? What do you want to be?" "I want to be a nurse." "What about you, Tommy?" "Oh, I want to be in charge of a hospital." And then she looks, and Billy has yet to say anything and nor raise his hand. And she said, "Billy, what do you want to be when you grow up?" And Billy said, "Well, Mrs. Smith, I just want to be possible." And she goes, "I'm not really sure what you mean by that." He said, "Well, my mama, she's always telling me, 'Billy, you are absolutely impossible. So I just want to be possible.'" Billy held on to a higher vibration than his situation and his circumstance. We could call that a sense of gratitude. We can call that an energy within ourselves that opens us up to a greater reality of what is possible. I think often of my little goddaughter, who is now 7 years old, and all the training that she's had to be principle-based and to give thanks for all the great things that are in her life. And from the very time she was 3, 4 years old, she was always into using these big words like incredible, gratitude, amazing. And every day, just about in her life, that I say, "How are you? How's it going?" She goes, "Mama Temple, I am absolutely amazing." She has learned to train herself to be aware of always looking at the glass half full. You see, I don't think everybody understands that it's something that you can learn. Alvin Toffler said that the issues in the 21st century aren't the people that are illiterate in that they cannot read and write. It's the people that have lost the ability to unlearn and relearn and learn for their betterment once again. Gratitude is something that, to be truly authentic, it's a strong word. You know, there's many words like oneness and connection and authenticity, but before we know it, we use these words at a surface level instead of establishing this deepening within our own being. But the immensity of gratitude is the ability to really look all around you, the 360 like that of a child, and see all the things that you are so blessed with and that come so natural. I know part of my practice of many years has been calling in the directions that I learned in Celtic shamanism. honoring the east and air and honoring water and honoring Mother Earth and honoring all these sentient beings that live and honoring the deepening of connection, honoring a law that is always working. Even for those who say it doesn't work, it works for them by not working. But calling in with attentiveness and energy, it sets in motion a tremendous power. A lot of times people say, well, you know, what is the difference? What do you think is the difference between gratitude and grace? And I like to say, for me, gratitude is based upon what I see. And grace is holding the space of incredible things happening, even though I'm yet to see them. So gratitude is the foundation that builds the base for the miraculous grace that has our name on it. And I don't know about you, but I'm always looking every day for what is my surprise? What is the wonderful thing or the wonderful things or who's going to call or what's going to occur that I'm going to just be so surprised? You know, often people will use as a negative connotation, you better watch it if it's too good to be true. But for me, if it's too good to be true, it is true. Think about that. If it's too good to be true, it is true. And that's aiming from a fifth dimension, like joy and life and all the things that we have to be grateful for. I didn't always feel that way, though, or understand that practice. I grew up in a small town, and I overcame the religiosity of Southern Baptist teaching of victimhood and those kind of things. And I didn't really understand being connected to spirit, how that was that anything could be so loving in my life. I had somewhat of an attitude, if you will, growing up. And in my first year of sobriety, I was in a friendship with this wonderful man, and he was only like a year ahead of me in sobriety. And he asked me to join him every day in writing 50 things that I loved about my life. Well, when he first said that to me, I must say I was quite taken back and actually really embarrassed. I didn't want to admit to him at 29 years old that I could only think of two or three things, that I had not ever done anything like this. And it was extremely uncomfortable. But I promised him that I would commit to doing 50 things, writing down 50 things every day that I liked about myself. And so I persevered. And though it was uncomfortable and it was a strain at first, I continued every day to sit down with that piece of paper. And I love my hair. I love my eyes. I love my life. I love my health. I love my friendships. I love my joy, and on and on and on. And as it would be, it started becoming more and more natural. And before I knew it, the very things I would write down, someone would see me and go, oh, I love your hair. And I go, thank you. And I think to myself, well, I just wrote that this morning. But you think about that. You think about the positionality that gratitude and this type of practice of what it can do for us and how it sets us up for success, if you will, or how it sets us up for a level of being open-hearted. Because when we start the day with our heart open, we're welcoming. We're welcoming the good. We're welcoming the joy. We're welcoming the possibilities, as Billy would say, of wanting to just really be possible. So that was a true layer for me. And when I find that I'm needing to resonate at a deeper level, or I'm going through a lot of changes in my life, I will go back to that simple practice of writing down 50 things a day so that I can honor all the things that are working and are effective in my life. It One thing we do not realize is that we are in the practice of knowing better and doing better is that once we get on some kind of tangent that something's not working well, before you know it, we've entered into a whole new level of a stress zone, and we start immediately attracting those things to us. To me, I'm not huge on Bible teaching, probably because of my early exposure to it, but there are certain scriptures that I really like, and one of them is, to him much is given, much is held accountable. And I've always held that to our ability to use our mind. When we know better, we need to do better, and we're held more accountable than those who do not know better. So once we know that our gratitude kind of sets things up of all the beauty and everything around us. You know, what is fascinating is when you even think about the most popular movie entitled Gratitude, most of the things we have to be grateful for are free. We don't have to pay anything for them. We can go outside, we can look at the color green, we can look at the flowers, we can smell them, we can see the hummingbirds, we can listen to the sound of the birds, we can hear the water coming up to our feet if we're on the ocean. We can see the beauty of the snow and the cardinal out the window. We have so many things that come to us that are just given to us by the divine. I've had people, you know, say to me, I feel lost, or what does it mean to be spiritual, or maybe I should start thinking about being spiritual. And I have to say, there's times that I don't chuckle at them, for goodness sakes, but I kind of have like a chuckle inside myself when I think about the fact that we're always spiritual. We are always living in the gratitude of the divine. Unless you know how to make your lungs breathe in and out, and you push a button that makes them breathe in and out, or unless you can make your heart beat by kicking your feet or, you know, clicking your heels 3 times. We are part of something that is so greater than we are. It's something that we are all a part of, that we express fully. And so when we say, I think I need to be more grateful and start being in the practice of spirituality, what we're really saying is, it's time that I align with myself in the way that I am inherently created. It's not that we're taking on something new. It's that we are surrendering to that which we can remember that has always been. So grace is an expectation of what we can't see, and gratitude is always what we can see. In my journey of getting healthier in life, and, you know, I'm like so many of you, I understand that's a wonderful, wonderful lifelong commitment of learning something new and an invitation to life each and every day. But along the way, when I was working with expanding myself as a healer and a teacher, my teacher, she was really tough. And she did not get all caught up in my trophies, or how long my bio was, or, you know, what I'd done in my life, or my accomplishments. And she just kind of said, oh, that's, you know, that's really nice. But what I really want to know about you, Temple, is what is your ability to sit in the light and to sit in the dark of your life? What I really want to know is how much depth you have, that you're not just quoting other people in cliches and platitudes, but that you have created depth, a real depth inside yourself. And so I would go to her in the practice about once a month and sit in the silence for hours and hours. And at first that was a big adjustment, because I would be like anxious, because I'd never had that much silence in my life. But as you adjust to the silence, you become aware that It's like medicine for your soul. It really settles the teacher archetype, and it brings you into a greater alignment of who you are, and being attentive to, again, that 360 view, like that of a child. And so she asked me if I would look incrementally, starting from birth to 5 years old, and then 5 years old to 10 years old. And she had cut up some little pieces of paper. And she said, write each incident in your life that happened in those windows. So however many things happen between birth and five, and however many things happen from five to 10, and go on and on throughout the entirety of your life. Write those down and really feel them and really be with them. And then once you have completed the exercise, in a couple of days, go back and look at each of those sheets of paper and write in your heart with a sense of gratitude how that event changed your life, how that event woke you up, how that event made you broader, gave you depth, helped you understand life and relate to so many other people. You know, in my work and training people to go out in the field and be spiritual heroes or spiritual leaders or teachers or just be great parents. I mean, you don't have to have a credential to realize that you're impacting or influencing humanity. But when I look at, often people will say, oh, I'm really waiting until I don't have any problems, and then I will go on and become a teacher. And I always say, well, good luck with that. You know, maybe they can use you in the afterlife. But how can you help and influence others and relate to other people if you've never had any issues in your life? Because that is what offers you the opportunity to use the word compassion, compass it on. Compassion is compass it on. You go through experiences, and then you have the grace and the opportunity to meet other people in your life that you're able to pay it forward, that you're able to stand in a place as a healer. You know, to me, we cannot heal in others or play a part in believing in the healing in others if we have not done the healing within ourselves. So it's really powerful. And in my book, When Did You Die?, I speak about this very thing, is that the secret of life is not whether we will live or die. It's the parts of ourselves that we allow to die while we're living. It's the parts of ourselves that we allow to go to sleep. And when we do this, we have energy that's zapped in our bodies. We have energy that's depleted within ourselves. And we are not here on this planet to grow old. We are here to be ageless spirits. We are here to be energized and to go through the experiences and seek more on the other side of them. We're so programmed in our society that the more you go through, the less you are. The truth of the matter is, the more that goes through you, the more you have. The more energy you have, the more life force you have. Think of that little plant that wants to be in life so much that it will burst through the cement in order to live. That's the life force and the life energy that you call forth each and every time you claim the gratitude. I am whole. I am holy. I am alive. I am energized. I am great. I am the divine in action. I am the immutable law activated in spirit moving through me. All of these affirmatives bring us forth to a place of greatness. Gratitude creates within us the deeper reality that we are not broken, that we are not permanently wounded, but that we are whole and we are holy. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your essence of being with me. If you've been moved by this show today, please forward it with your friends and know again how much you are greatly valued and very much appreciated.
I'm Suzanne Giesman, and if you've ever wondered about life after death or if it's possible to connect with a higher consciousness, I invite you to join me for my podcast, Messages of Hope. It's my mission to share with you that our loved ones who have passed are always with us, and we are so very loved. I want to teach you how to live a consciously connected and divinely guided life. Listen here on the mindbodyspirit.fm podcast network.